I'm thinking about, I'm just praying, I'm trying to get more information. Someone gave me one of these. It's a Walk for Life. Compass Care puts on this Walk for Life. It's May 4th, at 9 o'clock in the morning, you walk 2 miles. And I'm seriously thinking about it, seeing how it goes. I've contacted the company. I kind of want to, or the organization, to learn a little bit more about them. On the front, they have a gospel verse, or a verse out of Mark about the importance of children. From the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. I'm not sure if that's King James, but Mark 10:14. Certainly a Christian-based organization. So I'm thinking about doing this to see if this is something that we might, as a church, participate in. So pray for me for wisdom on what to do with these things. We get a lot of things at the center of the church. Compass Care is, I believe that's the race that we used to run. Is it in Albion? The Strawberry Festival, they host the 8K and 5K race that we've participated in. But this seems something that maybe everybody could possibly get involved in. And so I'm looking more into that, and I'll give you some updates. But just if you could just, Lord, give Pastor Russo wisdom on what to do with that. I so would appreciate that. All right, open your Bibles up to the book of Hebrews tonight. Hebrews chapter 4. Between tonight and Sunday, we're going to have the complete range of messages. Say, what do you mean? Well, let's go to Hebrews chapter 4. Grab Hebrews 4 and Philippians chapter 2. Hebrews 4 and Philippians chapter 2. It is nice that it is quarter to 8 and I can still see outside. Isn't that nice? Man. Praise the Lord for that. Philippians chapter 2. Hopefully you found that. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5, it says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God." There we see his deity. Verse 7, "But made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men." There we see his humanity. So within two verses, we see Jesus Christ presented in both ways. Number one, it identifies him as God. Number two, it identifies him as a man. Now, flip over to Hebrews chapter 4. See, Jesus was 100% God and 100% man. So, being man, he experienced everything that you and I experience. In Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 15, say, well, when they nailed him to the cross, he was God. He probably didn't feel it. No, he felt it. When they whipped him across his back, he felt it. I think last night, was it last night that we looked at that verse in the book of Psalms about the they made his back as the furrows of a tractor, right? Or furrows of a plow. That's how deep the stripes went into his back. He felt that. He felt it when they placed the crown of thorns upon his head. He felt things. Why? Because he was man. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 15 says, "For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities." What's right there? This is an English, it's almost math. I mean, it's double negative, therefore it's positive, right? Do you see that? We have not an high priest which cannot be. So we have a high priest that can be. Do you understand? See how that works? So we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted, like as we are. What are those next three words? Yeah, without sin. See, he experienced every bit of humanity that you and I go through, yet he didn't sin. That's something. He worked in the carpenter shop. You know what that means? There was probably a time where he hit his hand with a hammer. Got a splinter. When the piece that he cut didn't fit. He was around as a 13-year-old boy when someone made fun of him and he handled himself right. He experienced everything that every person had ever felt. Touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but in all points tempted. There's nothing that you've ever gone through that he hasn't experienced. Here we're dealing with humanity. So many times we take great efforts to show Jesus Christ and His deity. Absolutely. The book of John is all about it. But tonight, we're going to look at the other side. We're going to look at the human side of Christ. What is it that He went through? What is it that He was feeling? Let us therefore, in verse 16, let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So what is it that He went through that He can better identify with us? What did He feel? John chapter 4. John chapter 4. Don't want to scare you, but I have seven quick points. Seven quick points. So why do you tell us stuff like that? So you can follow along. So you can write notes down. So you can... When I was in Bible Institute, and we were encouraged to have a notebook and write notes down. Write things down. Think about things. Take things and meditate on things and follow up with things. John chapter 4 and verse 6. It says, now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with His journey, sat thus on the well. And it was about the sixth hour. So here's what's happening. Christ has been traveling. He gets to the spot. We know the story very well of John chapter 4. This is the woman at the well, right? The Samaritan woman. What brings Him there? He comes up to the well and He sits down. Why does He sit down? Because He's tired. The Bible says He's wearied from the journey. He's wearied. Hey, ever go somewhere in your life and get wearied? How do you feel with that? How do you respond with that? How do you act when you're wearied? You come home, you've had a long day. You know, I was talking to Ray a couple months ago, and man, you were starting at some ungodly hours. Like, yeah, I was started work at 4 o'clock this morning. 4 o'clock? That is not right. How do you construction work stuff at 4 o'clock? That's not right. You know, Bud was working some crazy hours, 11 to or 2 to 2 or something like that. Man, you get weary. How are you when you're weary? Oh, I'm great. I'm good. Oh, man, you would love to see me when I'm wearied. Ever get wearied? Ever get wearied, as Galatians chapter 6 says, warns us, beware, be careful that you not be wearied in well-doing. Not because you're doing wrong. Jesus Christ is walking around healing people, teaching people, preaching to people. And what is it? He just got tired after a while. There was no Cadillac driving Him around. There was no car driving Him around. Wherever He went by foot. Very few times do we ever see Him upon an animal other than going into Jerusalem. He walked everywhere. He was just tired. How do you get when you're weary? You get a little short. You get a little snippy. Hey, listen, I've had a long day. Have you ever said this? I've had a long day at work. Just give me a little time. We'll all be well. Just give me a cup of coffee. I want to sit down for a few minutes. Just, I don't want any questions for a good 30 minutes. And then I will be reasonable. Is that what Jesus did? He's wearied, just like you and I are wearied. He sits down, and immediately, what does He start doing? Starts ministering to a woman. Even though He was wearied, He didn't quit. He didn't stop. Hey, listen, I just need to take the time and say, well, this is part of the divine part of Christ. No, I think He wearied, showing that He feels the same things that we feel on a daily basis, yet He continued on. Hey, I got to hang now. I'm not going to church tonight. I'm sorry. It's just been too much. Look at this. I can't talk to people like that. In 3 weeks, we're going to be traveling out of town. I need to stock up on some sleep. I'm sorry. We're just not going to be able to participate. Imagine Jesus doing that. Hey, let's look at the human side of Christ. He felt those things, but yet He continued on. Hey, let's be careful that we not look for reasons to get out. Let's be careful that we not look for reasons to quit. Remember, and I want you to keep this in your mind, there's a possibility that we could be tempted in our humanity being wearied. Because he says that he was tempted in all points like as we, yet without sin. Therefore, know what that tells me? There's a possibility that in my humanity, in my low points, I have a tendency to sin. So I need to be mindful of that. I need to be mindful that when I get weary, to not open myself and make myself more susceptible to sin. In all of these points, we need to think about that. Matthew chapter 4. So number one, Christ was wearied. Say, he doesn't know what I feel. I've experienced. He says in all points. So there's not a spot. Say, Jesus didn't have children. You're sitting there thinking, yeah, that's a good point. He had 12 disciples that constantly questioned every single thing that he did. These were adult children. Lord, why didn't you? And they're whining all the time. And adults. Hey, when the 7-year-old whines, that's what 7-year-olds do. When the 7-year-old goes up to the outlet with a screwdriver, that's what they do. When they try and eat gummy worms for breakfast, that's what they do. Disciples ought not to be doing that. That must have been frustrating. Matthew chapter 4, in verse 2. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. Hungered. Even though he was hungry, what happens here? So for 40 days and 40 nights, he doesn't eat. Divine nature. But yet still experienced hunger. We have 2 teenage boys that live in our home. If it goes about 4 hours amount of time in between feedings, the word starvation begins to be brought out. Hey, so many times, I'm just saying, so many times in our humanity, we think we have a license to misbehave. I'm hungry, therefore I can be. I'm weary, therefore I can be. No, we can feel all of those things and not sin. Right after this, he was tempted of the devil. Unlike anything we would ever experience. But he hungered. He felt that. We live in America. Tonight after church, are we still good? After church, I have a meeting, and then after church, we're hitting up Jimmy Z's. Say, why are you doing that? Because we can. We live in America. This is great. There's people in the world that they have one meal a day, if that. And Christ says, I know how you feel. We've been to third world countries. We've seen it. We've been there. The things that they make us is would take them a month to raise enough money for. I remember the first time we went to Mexico, and there we were with Brother Jones, and we go into this little feeble house, and this woman has more food, and it's like, what on earth? And he's like, you know how long it would have taken her to raise that and support that? And she's making it for everybody. She fed 23 people. Little house, very little. We had Bible study in there with her. Hey, there's no circumstance as we look out over the world, we look at the things that people are experiencing. Do you understand? In America, we don't feel hunger very often, but Christ felt hunger. And those that have experienced that, he says, I know how you feel. And yet he didn't sin. In Mark chapter 4, he was wearied, he was hungered. In Mark chapter 4 and verse 38. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him, and they said unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? He slept. You know, sometimes it takes courage to take some rest. We feel like we constantly have to go. Sometimes there's a verse in, I think it's Proverbs, where it talks about having courage to rest. Sometimes it's hard to say no. Why aren't you up here rowing? Because I'm sleeping. In the midst of a storm, here, let's make this parallel though. Even in the midst of a storm, can we rest in the Lord? There's our humanity. Hey, when things are swirling all around us, can we rest in God knowing that He's in charge and He has a handle on that? He is aware of our circumstance. He knows what's going on. In the midst of the storm, can we rest? John 11:35, our favorite Bible memory verse. John 11:35 says Jesus wept. Two words. Jesus wept. Here we see the epitome of humanity, right? Emotion. Was there any more manly of a man than Jesus Christ? The amount of strength that he had. Say, why? Being a carpenter? No. To not respond in certain areas. When they were accusing him, man. When they were accusing him, or when they were beating him, and he, as we studied even last night, he could have called down 12 legions of angels, and yet he did not. They're not only just beating him, but they're open hand slapping him across the face, mocking him, spitting upon his face. He doesn't respond. He doesn't answer. He doesn't mishandle it. Here, the epitome of humanity. He wept. It's okay to have emotions. God made humans, not robots. Now, I'm not saying that, you know, we got to be controlled in that. You know, we don't drive into work and the squirrel comes out and boom. We don't really, I mean, that's sad and all, but we don't cry over dead squirrels. I mean, maybe you do. Okay, very good. All right. Some are more emotional than others then, I guess. But he created that to feel that. Hey, Christ wept. Why? Because people that he loved were hurting. Lazarus died. Mary and Martha are grieved. He's saddened. Say, oh, that's wrong. That's not wrong. Here we see the humanity of Christ. He wearied. He hungered. He slept. He wept. In Luke chapter 10 and verse 21. He rejoiced. You know what Jesus rejoices over? He rejoices one time in the scriptures. He rejoiced over the fact that the Pharisees couldn't understand salvation and that the simple minds could. Isn't that funny? I mean, I guess that's not funny, but like, isn't that interesting? The one time he's rejoicing in his heart, it says that, look at Luke 10:21. That's what this verse is about. In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. He rejoiced in knowing those things. That salvation went to the simple. Hey, we laugh at some strange things. Here the Lord was pleased in his heart that children could come to Christ. That even children could understand. The simplest could understand the things of God. Hey, what do you get excited about? What are you happy about? Here we see that he rejoiced. He was wearied, he hungered, he slept, he wept, he rejoiced. Go back to John chapter 11. We have two more. John chapter 11. So what's the point of the message tonight? Just to show you that Jesus was human. And everything that you've ever felt in your whole entire life, He's also. John chapter 11 and verse 33. Just a few verses back from 35. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, talking of Mary, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. Do you know what that is? He was deeply saddened. You know, there's things that happen on Sunday. Man, did you see those bombs that went off? Some 300 plus people dead. Hey, that ought to make you sad. I saw an article today. There's this lady. She's got this huge patch over her eye. She either lost her eye or her face was damaged. She's holding a picture of her son and her husband who passed in that day. You look at that and it just deeply saddens you. Say, oh, that's not right. I should be... No. Jesus groaned. He was saddened in the spirit. He wept. He felt all the things that you felt. He felt like how your heart felt like it was going to break. He felt that. And yet knew no sin. Lastly, John chapter 19. John 19, verse 20. For the verse, wait, hold on. I'm looking for where it says he thirsted. I thought it was 19:20. 28. Thank you. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. He thirsted. Here he is dying on the cross, a body completely depleted of all resources. He felt thirsty. Say, what's the point? How does that apply to me? Well, Psalm 42 tells me that. Go to Psalm 42. In verse 1. As the hart, which is like a deer, as the deer panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before thee? He thirsted for water. We ought to thirst for God Himself. Does our soul crave the things of God? Here we see some things. Seven things that Jesus in His humanity experienced. That we can look at in our life and go, oh, I must be broken. I'm feeling tired. I must be broken. I'm hungering after, maybe not food, but something spiritual. My heart is saddened. I cry. I groan. I feel remorse or sadness in my heart. There must be something wrong with me. Jesus felt those things. Hey, I'm excited when young people come to Christ. Is that okay? Yeah, that's okay. Hey, I have a desire for God. I have a thirsting, if you will. Is that all right? Yeah, that's all right. Hebrews chapter 4. We'll conclude with this thought. Hebrews chapter 4. In verse 15, we read, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. And all those feelings that we feel, the weariness, that we feel like no one understands. No, He understood. He understands. Look at verse 14, though. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. Hey, even though you're feeling maybe these things, it's no time to quit. It's no time to give up. Let us hold fast our profession. Profession of what? The Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, you might get tired. You might get weary. You might be deeply saddened in your heart, but that doesn't mean we quit. because Christ in all those points was tempted like us, and we can bring those things before Him. And you know what? He can help us get through those things. He is the only one that can help us get through those things. Christ has experienced it all. You know, it's fun to talk about similar experiences with people, right? I remember I was in Puerto Rico with Ed, and we were at the hotel, and I'm sitting by the pool, and these people are talking English. So, you know, you go up and you, "Hi, where are you from?" Come to find out, they grew up in Irondequoit. Here they are in Puerto Rico, and they're from Irondequoit. So we start talking about markers in Irondequoit. "Have you ever been here? Did you ever do?" "Oh, yeah," and we're laughing. Why? There's a common thing there. There's a familiarity that, "Hey, what do you do when you feel wearied?" Well, you can bring it to the one who also has felt wearied, whose heart has also broken, who has thirsted and hungered. Hey, go talk to him. Maybe he can help you in the way that he was helped. Because he was touched with a feeling of our infirmities. He's felt it all. And if you feel like no one understands or no one can comprehend, there's one that does. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. In his humanity, can I say, listen to this now. Here. It helps people listen. In his humanity, he's divine. He's divinely human in that all of these things that he experiences, he can help us in a way that no other person can. Because he's also God. And we can go through these things with him and experience those things. And he went through it all. Why? Not because he had to, but because he wanted to be able to identify with you and help you. That's a blessing. So Christ in his humanity helps us. Let's all stand. Glad you're here tonight. Still a little sunshine out. You can see vehicles. That's a blessing. And drive carefully home. Watch out for deer. And we'll be back here on Sunday. Who's in the prison tomorrow night?
Brother Seatman.
All right. Brother Jabisky and Brother Seatman are in the prison. Make sure you pray for them. That Lord meet with them in their services. All right. Brother Jabisky, will you dismiss us in prayer?